And that FBI agent met the pastor when he arrived. And that pastor is currently awaiting trial. $100,000 bond, house arrest. His true identity caught up with him. And he got caught in the web by the lure of anonymity. You say, whoa, that's really troubling. I mean, Satan really deceived him, didn't he? And by the way, I'm not here to judge that pastor. We ought to pray for him. But we ought to learn a lesson from that. That you can't sin without consequence. That you can't say, well, I just do this in my other personality. You know, my kind of game personality. And it doesn't affect the way that I live. The Bible says as a person thinks, in its heart, that's Hebrew for the mind, the seat of the being. As you're thinking in your head, what? So are you. So are you. But it's so easy to get caught in the web because it is so accessible, it's so affordable, and because you can be anonymous. Well, at this point you're saying, whoa, we need to do something. I hope you're thinking that. And so that moves us to our third question. How can a person become disentangled from the web? Or, I would think even better, how can a person avoid becoming entangled in the first place? Right? That's the question I want to address in the third part of our presentation. Well, let me suggest to you three strategies. You'll see them in your outline under A, B, and C. If a person recognizes that they have become entangled in the web, what strategies can we employ? And you say, well, I'm not entangled, so I guess I'll cancel this. There's someone you know and love that is entangled. I guarantee it. Could be someone in your dorm, someone at your work, someone in your extended family. It is somewhere. Someone needs to know what to do. So here's the first strategy. Recognize, this is subsection A, recognize that there is a problem. Recognize that you have a problem with your internet usage. No behavior change will ever happen unless you take that first step of recognizing that there's a problem. So what are some indicators that there is a problem? Let me ask you a few questions. The answers will let you know. And I've also given you a survey, a little survey you can fill out privately or give to someone that you know has talked to you about struggling with internet usage, and you let them take it, and it gives you some good insights. But here's a few questions. Listen, how many hours a week are you spending online? Now, I want to challenge you with something that is very radical, but I want to hold myself accountable to it too, brother. Here it is. If I am spending more time online each week, I'm not talking about educational or employment, okay? Because we do those things in work. But I'm talking about outside of education or employment time. If I am spending more time each week online than I am studying God's Word, I'm in spiritual danger. Now, you can disagree with me on that one. But I had a brother come to me and talk to me in my office who got into online pornography. From that, he got into chat rooms. From that, he got into phone sex. From that, he got into multiple affairs, unfaithfulness to his spouse. And it also, he said, I thought I could stop at any point. But he was caught. He was deceived. And I asked him the question, how much time are you spending online compared to the amount of time you're spending in the Word of God? And he looked at me like I was from another planet. I mean, if you're spending 5 or 6 hours a day online, you don't have any time in the Bible. That's the problem. Because by beholding, what happens? We become changed. So, ask the question, how many hours am I spending online? As a Christian, I might say, how does that compare with the amount of time I'm spending in God's Word, in prayer, in worship, in witness? Does that make sense to you? Second question. This is straight questions we're asking. What kind of sites are you visiting? You say, well, I didn't really want to do anything. I just kind of went to see what was going on there. Yeah, right. That's called the sin of scheming. Just went to see what was happening there. You know, I'd heard about this site. I just thought I'd go see. Not a good idea. I want to tell you, when I was doing the research for this presentation, I consciously decided, I'm not going to go to any of those chat rooms. I've never been. I never plan to go. I don't want to know what garbage they're talking about. I don't want to be involved in that toxic waste. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm so holy. I'm saying that because I don't want to give the devil an opportunity. Amen. So I need to ask myself honestly, okay, what are the sites I'm visiting? Third question. How is my internet usage affecting my family, my relationship with my friends, and most of all, how is it affecting my relationship with God? That's an important question to ask. I have a friend that was at the men's retreat last year, was anointed, and was given a special gift of healing by the grace of God. He went back from the men's retreat, and he disconnected from the web. We'll talk about radical moves in just a minute. But he knew that there was something he had to do. If it's affecting my relationship with others, my relationship with God, sometimes we have to make radical decisions. Here's another question. Do I cover up or lie about the sites I visit or the frequency of my internet use? Do I all of a sudden quickly change to another site when I hear someone pull in the driveway or I hear my roommate coming down the hallway? Do I quickly, close the screen or go somewhere else? Final question, and this one really hit, this is a zinger. Do I ever go back to or visit a specific site after promising myself that I won't go there? You say, well, I just stumbled on that. Well, that's one thing. But did you promise yourself to go back? Not to go back, and you did go back? First thing I need to do is recognize if there's what? If there's a problem. Another way that I can recognize if there's a problem is to learn the difference between healthy internet usage and unhealthy. And I'm still on subsection A. Just a little insight before we go down to the second strategy, section B. What's the difference between healthy internet usage and unhealthy? Simply this. Nothing wrong with the internet. It's like a library. Okay? It's just the volume of dangerous material, I believe, is much bigger in the internet than it is in the library. But healthy internet usage would be going to the internet primarily to gather information. And by the way, don't just go cruising. Go and say, I need to find out the best airline ticket. And we've since discovered that's not necessarily the cheapest place to buy airline tickets, but to go and check or to check directions or, as I did last week, wanting to contact a pastor in Pennsylvania that I needed to talk to, I could go to a people search, type his name in the city, and I found his phone number just like that. Didn't even have to pay directory assistance. So there are some things you can do. I'm going either to get information or to maintain existing relationships. That's what email is all about, right? And I have student missionaries who are involved in missionary activity and can keep in touch with them. I have friends who are missionaries in different parts of the world. I have a friend in Africa. He has a baptism somewhere at a refugee camp. He can send me pictures and I can pray with my wife and my children and thank God for the good things that are happening. So there are good things that can happen to maintain relationships and to gather information. That's healthy. Here's the unhealthy side. Talking about recognizing if we have a problem. The unhealthy side is people go to the internet to find relationships, to find sexual fulfillment, and to find some other existence outside of reality. Some what they call persona, some other character. So I go to some game site. You know, I was talking to a pastor not long ago. It doesn't matter what denomination he was from. I'm not here to be negative about any church, but I was in Canada at a conference and a pastor came to me very candidly, and I want to share it with you because I don't think it was unique for him. He said to me, you know, I struggle with the internet. I thought about that working on this seminar. He said, when I have an argument with my wife, listen now, he said, I go to the internet and look at pornography. You say, what is the connection between having an argument with your wife and going to the internet and looking at pornography? Well, let me ask you this question. Does going to the internet and looking at pornography help his relationship with his wife? No. Not only doesn't it help it, what? It hurts it, makes it worse, because all of a sudden the energies that should go into nurturing, loving as Christ loved the church are going into this other existence, this other personality? The answer is, I can go in there, I can be involved in things. I didn't even ask him whether it was one way looking at pictures or two way entering to relationships, having cyber sex. I don't know that. But you know what? That is eroding the relationship, isn't it? It's trying to find social support, sexual fulfillment, some identity I feel good about outside of reality. That is a problem, isn't it? That's unhealthy. So, section B, we're talking about strategies now. What am I going to do if I find myself entangled? Firstly, I need to recognize if there is a what? Problem. Section B, take radical steps to distance yourself from the problem. You know, I learned a lot from the life of Jesus. Jesus faced a problem one time. He had just fed 5,000 people, and there was just joy in the crowd. And what was the response of the crowd? Do you remember after he had just fed the 5,000? They wanted to make him king. And what was the response of the disciples? What did they feel like? They were leading out in the rebellion. They wanted to make him king. Notice what Jesus did. We're going to learn a lesson, and we're going to apply it to the internet, okay? What did Jesus do? According to Matthew's gospel, the first thing he did is he said to his disciples, "You in the boat, go." It wasn't like, "Folks, let's think about it." It's like, "You in the boat, go." Okay? Because they were the source of the problem. In the boat, go. Then he goes back to the crowd. He says, "Time to go home." I don't know exactly what he said, but it was something like that. Perhaps he blessed them as they went. Next thing he did, what is he doing? He is taking radical steps to distance himself from the problem. You in the boat, go. Folks, go home. And then Jesus went where? To the mountainside and? You got it right there. There's a problem. Recognize the problem. Take radical steps to distance yourself. Jesus showed us how to do that. So, here are three radical steps. Subpoints 1, 2, and 3 under 3B. Three radical steps. Step one, install an internet filter. Say, what's that? I didn't know what that was either until I had that thing with the free wallpaper that scared me. I said, well, what do you do? How do you keep this out? And my son said, well, you need to get a filter. And there are free filters, and they're reasonably good, but there's also some that you pay for that are more sophisticated. They're updated, and people call in. There's accountability to call in. This site looked fine. You know, you typed in something innocuous like fun.com, and all kinds of pornography came up. You report that in, and that gets put onto the cyber sitter or net nanny or cyber patrol to monitor. When you get that filter and you install it on your computer, it won't tell you what to filter, but you can go in there and I can say to myself, do I want any hate crime things coming in onto my computer? Do I want profanity? Do I want sexually explicit material? Do I want violence? Do I want gambling offers and things like that? And I can go and I can choose to screen out. You know, sometimes people send me email, it doesn't come through. You know why? Because my filter screens out correspondence that has profanity in it. Well, I'm sorry, sir, you'll have to write it some other way. Because if you send me something with profanity in it, my filter is not going to let it through. Now you say, well, I might miss something important. I might, but I might also screen out a lot of toxic things out of my life. So I can do that. Now, someone at an earlier presentation came to me and he said, you know, in addition to getting a filter like that, there's also such a thing as internet service provider that filters for you. Here's one, Integrity Online. Maybe you've heard of others. That's kind of like going to one of these ISPs, these providers, but you go to one that is a Christian one, and Integrity Online is one of those, and I guess they have a major filter. All of your surfing or your web use goes through them first, and then on, and the filter happens there. Well, whether you use a filter on your computer or you use a filter through a ISP, it sounds like that's a good idea. And by the way, it's not uncommon that students come into my office with a dilemma. They say, I can't believe this. I went on my computer and someone had come into my room and downloaded pornography onto my computer. I wasn't in the room. I was my roommate or someone. I just went out and they came in and they downloaded some things. I don't want that stuff on my computer. And you know what? They shouldn't have it on their computer. And I said, you need to have a little conversation. If you know, one happened to know it was a roommate. You need to have a conversation with them and tell them that this computer belongs to the Lord. This is consecrated for holy things. And if they won't listen to you, I need another roommate, which would probably be the best thing to do. Or you definitely need to put a filter on your computer. I have a filter on my computer at the office. You say, why? Are you tempted to do bad things at your office? No. But we've had situations where if a person steps out, a student can come in. They don't have to be from the school where I teach, School of Religion. They can come in, they can type in freelove.com or whatever they can think of. And I don't want things coming down onto my computer. So I need to filter. I need to say, hey, wait a minute here. If this is a problem, if there's a danger of being entangled, I'm going to screen these things out, okay? Let me share with you a second strategy, a radical step, a second radical step. First one we talked about was to install a filter. Second radical step, subpoint B2, find an accountability partner. Do you notice when Jesus sent the apostles out, he sent them out how? Now that 2x2 wasn't just to encourage them and to, hopefully give them some protection. I believe it was a defense against temptation. If you can just imagine, if you've got a godly brother standing by your side or a godly sister standing by your side, it seems like it would be a lot more difficult for you to enter into sin, right? You say, man, I'm feeling weak. I think I want to go do something sinful. And your godly brother says, let's pray. Not because I'm so holy, sometimes I'm weak, you need to pray for me. But right now, I can be strong and pray for you. Similarly, an accountability partner is someone to whom I can be honest and say, you know, really struggling with this, here's some issues, I just want to hold you accountable. Just like the brother that talked to me and said, I'm going to have to go back into that multi-user dungeon and I'm going to delete that personality. I don't want to have the sin of remembrance. I don't want to go back and just see what's happening or go back and take up that old other life again. Some of us have done that in our own lives, had to hit delete, right? Said, I want to go back and I want to hit delete because I don't want it to exist anymore. And you know what he said to me? He said, you see me on Monday. He's going to delete that personality tomorrow afternoon when he gets home. He said, you see me on Monday and you ask me. You ask me. Is that a good idea? That's accountability, right? By the way, when you start lying to your accountability partner, you must take the third radical step. If the first radical step is to install a filter or get an ISP that filters for you, second, by the way, that doesn't always do everything. If the second is to find an accountability partner, what do you think the third radical step is if you start finding yourself maybe even lying to your accountability partner? Disconnect from the web. You say, no, can't live without that. Well, let me just startle you with the realization that people lived before there was an internet. Some people actually lived quite productive lives. Some of them lived holy lives and changed their culture. Amen. So it is possible to live without the internet. And if you find, after you say, I can't live with these parameters, you know, then what am I going to do? Radical step, disconnect. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 5, if you want to write the reference down, Matthew 5, 29 and 30. I'm going to read what Jesus said and then I'm going to paraphrase it. Jesus said in the context of the temptation to look lustfully and to commit adultery, if your right eye causes you to sin, what? Pluck it out and cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into the fire. If your right hand causes you to sin, what? Cut it off. I'd call that a radical step, wouldn't you? Cut it off, cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into the fire. Now, those of you that have studied the life and teachings of Jesus know that that is a hyperbole. That is an exaggeration for effect. Jesus didn't literally mean pull out your eye because you could still sin with the other eye. He didn't literally mean cut off your hand because you could still sin with the other hand. But what Jesus was saying is if you have to, take radical steps because it's better to lose some things now and be saved for eternity. Amen? Jesus, paraphrasing them, would say, if he were giving this presentation, if the internet causes you to sin, disconnect. Disconnect. For it is more profitable for you that your access to cyberspace be severed. See the parallel? Better that your access to cyberspace be severed than your whole body be cast into the fire. One young man who listened last year went home and disconnected from the web. It was perhaps the most important decision he ever made. Shortly after that, God led a wonderful Christian young woman into his life. I want to tell you, God always has something better. Amen. He got married. He's here without his wife because this is a men's retreat. But I want to tell you something. God has better things if we'll take a bold stand for him. Sometimes it has to be radical. Disconnect if nothing else works. Section C, in closing. We're talking about how a person can become disentangled from the web. And we've said first you need to recognize if there's what? A problem in your usage. Secondly, I need to be willing to do what? Take radical steps. Get a filter. Get an accountability partner. And if that doesn't work, what?
Unplug,
disconnect. But there is a third strategy that is very important. Section C, under major section 3. Here it is. Replace the old destructive behavior. Can you finish it? With a new, thank you, constructive behavior. You see, you can't leave a vacuum. If you just unplug the computer and sit there in front of the black screen, the blank screen, eventually what's going to happen? You'll plug it back in again. Because we focus on something and it gets our attention. So, I need to replace the old destructive behavior with a new constructive behavior. If you can live within the boundaries of a filter and an accountability partner, that doesn't mean you have to unplug. You just say, I am never going to go onto the internet just to what? Just to surf. You know, people say, well, I just wanted to see what's out there. Let me tell you now, we know what's out there. And we don't need it. Not if we're going to live for God. So to just say, well, I'm just going on for a little while. I was sharing with a gentleman. He said, I went onto the computer to look for something. 3 hours later, I got up to get a drink because I was thirsty. And when I went to get the drink, I remembered what I had gone on the computer for. He never got there. He became caught in the web. So I'm going to try to replace the old destructive with a new what? That means if I'm going to use the web, I will only go onto the internet with a specific objective in mind. Need to get a flight for some vacation with my family. Want to check on someone's phone number that I need to get in touch with. Want to find the best route to go from this place to that place. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful things. I can go to the library and check if a book is available or if it's been checked out to save myself the drive and find out it's not there. These are a lot of good things, but I'm going on with a specific intention in mind. Does that make sense to you? And I'm going on there to maintain healthy relationships, to send an email to one of my students that's a student missionary, for you to send an email to a friend that's attending another school or someone that you know that has asked for special prayer, but not to just go out there, you know, as one man, I was reading his account, he goes on there and his log-on name in the chat room is Studman. That ought to tell you something about his intention. So what's Mr. Studman, why are you going out there? Oh, by the way, Studman is 23 years old, works out at the gym, blonde and blue eyes. In that personality. Actually, he's 49, overweight, lost most of his hair, married, and things aren't going well in his marriage. I wonder why. I wonder why. So, if I'm going onto the internet, it's to maintain healthy relationships, not to find, because you find, you say, I found this perfect girl, you know, so all of this. For all you know, that perfect girl out there could be male. Just wondering what it'd be like to interact with men as if he were a woman. You say, people wouldn't do stuff like that, would they? Could be a 50-year-old lady who's so discouraged with her marriage and wants to talk to some younger men, so she comes on as a 19-year-old freshman who loves to run or play tennis. It's such a snare. So if I'm going to use it, I'm going to use it to maintain healthy relationships and to accomplish a specific objective. After that, where do I go? Log out. If I cannot do that, if I can't use it healthily and I disconnect, here's what I need to do. I need to reinvest in other positive activities, right? So what kind of things? Well, sorry to shock you with this, but you could take a class. Oh, I went to school a long time ago. I'm always excited when people come into my classes. I just want to take a class. I have a lady, I don't even want to guess her age, but she's my age, let's say that. Okay? She's a professional lady. She's sitting in right now on my biblical preaching class. I think that's wonderful. Amen. You know what? She's a women's ministries leader. She's a powerful servant of the Lord Jesus. Don't you think that's a great thing to do rather than just going to pogo.com? Take a class. Develop a hobby. When I first came to Southern Adventist University, I did something I've always wanted to do. I took a furniture construction class. I love to build furniture. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. So I figured there's some good lessons I could learn. I really mean that. And I started working with wood and building furniture. And can you imagine how much more productive that is than a person that has an argument with their wife and just goes on and looks at pornography for 4 hours? Maybe while I'm working with the furniture, I can think about what would help my relationship with my wife. Maybe I can go back and say I'm sorry. Maybe I can humble myself before God and seek His forgiveness and build the kind of marriage that God wants me to have. Are you listening to me? We're talking about reinvesting in positive things. What about ministry, a men's group, a Bible study group, getting involved in service to other people? These are ways that I can use my energies. 40 hours a week, man, even if it's 4 hours a week and it's being wasted, life is too short. Take a walk with your loved one. Take a hike with your kids. Use it productively rather than letting it be wasted away. Well, I give you a couple of texts in closing because I think they really capture what we're talking about in replacing the old destructive behaviors with the new constructive ones. Here's the text. And they're very familiar to you. But you know what? I think they're present truth for the internet generation. Here they are. Philippians 4 and verse 8. 4:13 would be a good one too. You're right. 4:13 is good. But I like 4:8. For an internet generation that is being bombarded and most of it is toxic. What does the Word of God say? Well, let's look at it together in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I know you've heard it before, but I believe it was never more true than it is for this generation. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about or let your mind focus on these things. That means when I install the filter and I go down and decide what things are going to be screened out and not going to come into my computer, not going to come into my family, I say, is that lovely? No. Check it off. Is that thing admirable? No. Don't let it in. Are you with me? I'm going to focus on that which is good. I'm going to make a decision. Now, I'm not telling you you'll never be tempted. I'm not saying that. But why should we place ourselves in temptation's way? That's not something God wants us to do. And then one final text, one of my five favorite texts in the whole Bible. It's in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. You know that text, don't you? You say, I think I've heard you share that text before, but you know what? It's still true. Hebrews chapter 12. And there the Word of God says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Caught in the web. So easily entangles. We're in Hebrews 12 verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. And on to verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes where? On Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me tell you something. If you're spending more time in the Word than you are on the web, you're safe. If when you go on the web, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you're safe. I have discovered you can't keep them fixed on Jesus and sin at the same time. It is a great defense against temptation. And when we find someone else who's struggling, and we are in the internet generation, please do not tell them that's just the way the life is in the internet generation. You tell them that if they'll follow sound counsel, that God can keep them as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a shining light. You don't have to be spectacular in a world of darkness to be a shining light. You just have to live for God and honor God. And you know what? God is going to make a difference in our life. Let's just take a moment in the minutes that are remaining to answer any questions you might have. Obviously, there's a lot of material here that I didn't share with you simply because of time. But we've got a few minutes before we're scheduled to conclude. Any testimony, question, comment that you'd like to share? Yes.
I'm talking about going online with a specific purpose. I went on my computer one Saturday night to look up something specific. 3 hours later, I got thirsty, and I went to the kitchen to get something to drink, and that was when I remembered what I had got online for. So I encourage you to write down, right by the mouse pad, what it is you're there for.
That's a helpful counsel. Thank you very much. That here we say, well, let me just go on and see what kind of whatever it might be. I want to just check if a book's available at the library. And you can go, and it's a wonderful thing. You can go to the library, see if the book's checked out or not, so you don't save a trip if it's not there. But what happens that you're suggesting here is that I could go there and just wander around, and 3 hours later, not even realizing how much time has gone by, I really have been kind of sucked in to the net. Yes, another comment.
I noticed one thing that helps me is when I pray before I get on. And I notice the difference in the material I look at.
Wow.
When I don't pray and when I do pray.
Does that sound like a good principle? You know, someone said you can't look at Jesus and sin at the same time. And I really do believe that. You can't look at Jesus and sin at the same time. You have to turn your eyes off Jesus. But when you look on Jesus, the things of earth, as the song says, grow strangely dim. So I think that's another excellent suggestion, which is to pray before we go online, if we're using the internet. Know exactly where you're heading. Write it down so you don't forget. Yes, another comment.
I was just going to say, for anyone who still does not yet believe that this is a problem, I just want to testify that I have many family members who either are or have been entangled in these things, maybe in just one of them or more of them. It happens.
And it doesn't just happen to like these pagan people, you know?
Texas, we had a youth pastor that was found using the church computer at night to access pornography and to let him go.
And you know, it's such a tragedy, isn't it? Because not knowing the person and wanting to judge them, I'm sure that person loved God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would assume they did, right?
Went into ministry.
He went into ministry, and yet somehow, whatever pressures or difficulties, and you know, I was at a conference not long ago, and a pastor came to me. It was actually a group of pastors. I was the only Seventh-day Adventist pastor there up in Canada. A pastor came to me, and he was very honest with me. Obviously, I won't quote his name or his denomination. That doesn't matter. But he was a pastor of a church. He came to me, and he said, you know, this is really a very important issue. He said, whenever I have an argument with my wife, now hear this, some of you are married, right? He said, whenever I have an argument with my wife, I go to my computer and look at pornography. You say, well, that's strange. Well, maybe it's not that strange. Maybe that's a way of trying to deal with, but how is that going to help his relationship with his wife? It's going to make it worse. So the problems do exist, and we need to be aware of them. We need to have these strategies in mind so that we guard our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. But thank you for sharing that. I think that's important.
Yeah, a couple of experiences where you click on what you thought was an innocuous site, and you get into a thing that you couldn't back out. It wouldn't let you. It took the whole control. One way you could get out of it was to turn the computer completely off.
Has anyone else ever seen something like that? I guess what's happening is what? Is it linked? Is it linked to other sites?
You can't use your backup button. You can't, I mean, there's no way of getting out of it. You just turn a stupid computer off.
So you may type into something as apparently harmless as fun.com to see if there's any fun type sites. And you may go wham into a gateway to a pornographic sites. And you say, whoa, I need to get out of this, so I try to get out, and it just kicks me over somewhere else. Well, that certainly tells me that I would be better off to have what? On my computer. You know why? Because that filter will know, and reports are constantly given to the manager of that system, and that site would be screened out, and it would kick you to a safe site.
But even if not, Alt-F4 will close those windows.
Okay, we're learning some technical skills here. Alt-F4 will close those windows. The problem is that few seconds of exposure has still done some damage.
Well, you got more sophisticated. You can recognize it ahead of time.
Well, I think the goal...
But it's just that...
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Annoyingly.
Yes.
But at first, when you're naive.
Yes. Yeah. And as this young man, Kevin, pointed out in the story I shared with you, the security officer, he said he got into it entirely by accident, and I don't question that. That's very possible, that just looking at something, expecting it to be just some kind of harmless site, he got into something, but then we noticed how it affected him. Well, those are good comments. There's a lot more that we could learn, but I want to pray that this would be a blessing not only to those that have participated in this discussion, but to all who listen. And our goal is not to make people fearful, but to make them prayerful and careful, right?
Amen.
Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you want to guard our hearts and help us to make wise choices. And I pray that we would do so not only to influence our own lives, but to bless our families and to bless those that we love and pray for. And may your name be honored. In Jesus' name, amen.
This special presentation has been brought to you by American Cassette Ministries. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2000, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 1-717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Our entire current catalog plus many other items are available online from our secure website, www.americancassette.org. We accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania 17108 in the United States of America. Answering the heart cry of the faithful for 25 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.